Well, hello and welcome back to the Naked Marriage Podcast. We are Dave and Ashley Willis, and on this podcast, we address the truth about sex, intimacy, and lifelong love. And you guys, we are so excited about this episode today because it's about a topic that I think that we can't talk enough about that so many people are affected by, and that is infertility. And so before we dive in, I actually want to share a recent review with you. So many of you have been sharing reviews, and we just are so grateful because we know it takes a little bit of time out of your day, but we are so grateful that you'd even take that time, and it's the best way to let others know about the Naked Marriage Podcast. So today's review is from WDW Lady, and it's entitled Wonderful, and she gave us 5 stars, so thank you so much. It says, I love listening to this podcast. My husband and I have been married for 21 years. We have a wonderful marriage, but we are not perfect. Listening to this podcast has helped us tremendously. We want to always invest in our marriage, and taking some of the advice from Dave and Ashley has helped us to become closer. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
That means the world to us.
It really does.
Keeps us going.
It really does. We are thankful for you guys. I know, you know, as you're listening to this episode, we've just kind of come out of Thanksgiving, and I want you to know we are thankful for you.
We are so thankful for you.
Your encouragement, your prayers, your reviews, you writing us on social media, you showing up to the EXO conferences, you sharing the message of this podcast and this ministry with others. You're partners with us in this, and we just feel like we have friends all over the world, and we're thankful for you. And we're also thankful for today's guests, Pastors Johnson and Summer Bowie, who lead a Victory Church in Atlanta, one of the most thriving, beautiful, amazing, Christ-focused churches that we've been part of. We just met them a month ago at EXO Atlanta, which was a wonderful event.
Really awesome.
And just became fast friends. Their testimony inspired us. Their church inspired us. And so with talking to them, we invited them to come on this podcast and specifically share their very powerful testimony about infertility in the early years of their marriage, infertility and miscarriage.
Yes.
And just what they learned through that, how they grew through that. And I believe this message is going to give hope, particularly for those who are maybe dealing with those same struggles, which is a very painful struggle that many couples deal with and often deal with in silence. But just to know you're not alone in it, and to get some practical tools and some hope and some inspiration and a powerful prayer at the end. So stick around for that. We're so excited to share this story and to introduce you guys to our new friends, Summer and Johnson Bowie. So let's dive into today's episode. Well, like we said in the intro, we are super excited about our friends, Johnson and Summer, joining us. We loved going to their church for EXO Atlanta not long ago, one of our very favorite spots on the EXO tour. They're just doing an amazing work there. And we so just loved hearing from them. They shared with us some of their testimony, and it was so moving and so powerful. We were like, will you come on the podcast and share this with our audience? Because it just meant a lot to us, and I'm sure it'll mean a lot to you. But before we dive into all that, Johnson and Summer, thank you for making time to hang with us today.
Yes, welcome.
Absolutely, guys.
Our pleasure. Thank you for having us. Yeah, we're excited to be here.
Yeah, like you said, when you guys came and visited for XO, I think one, we were blown away just by the whole XO experience, but you guys and your transparency, vulnerability, and your stinking hilarious stories about your parents, which is awesome. Hopefully they're not listening right now, but that was pretty awesome.
Well, the day we record this, today is my mom's birthday, and I thought about wrapping up a curling iron and sending it to her. What's that?
Yes.
Yes. Happy birthday, Mom.
Yeah. Yes. Happy birthday, Mom.
She's a good sport. They're amazing.
Yeah, her and Dad are great. Well, I still want to be like them when I grow up. They're great.
That's right. Well, we would love to start it out by just you guys. I know you told us this, but I'd love for the listeners and watchers to hear just about how you guys got together, because I really think it's such a sweet story.
Yeah. So we were both attending I was attending an Assembly of God church, and one of my good friends at the church, he was a pastor's kid, but he was a friend of mine, and he was Johnson's neighbor.
In the dorm at UGA, University of Georgia, God's College, go Dogs, amen.
Yeah.
So basically, you know, these are all the funny little subparts of the story that you often don't tell, but my next door neighbor, had just hooked up with her friend, and Summer was irate about it.
Yes, I was.
And so basically to like make amends, he decided to set us up. And so he had this thought of like, hey, could I get them in the same place at the same time? So he actually invited me Halloween weekend, 97, to go to this retreat. And so I'm good old Presbyterian boy. And I end up in an Assembly of God retreat in the North Georgia mountains, which I don't know. I don't know what I thought was going to happen, but it's not what I thought was going to happen. So all the Assembly of God, charismatic Pentecostal stuff, God radically changed my life, literally like picked me up off of one path, put me on another path, met her on the same weekend, literally 180'd my life. And that was 97. And, you know, fast forward, we start dating right there, start attending Victory Church back in the day in 98, get married in 01, mm-hmm. come on staff in 05, leading a campus in 2010 and senior pastors in the middle of pandemic COVID in 2020. And yes. So it's been a pretty cool ride.
Here we are.
Yeah, it's been a pretty cool ride.
That is amazing. And you guys have two boys. So we're fellow boy parents.
Yes.
We love that. Teenage boys, right? Both are teenagers, right?
Yes. Am I? 17 yes. and 13. So 13 yes. yeah, is about to be 14. So
in the thick of it, those are, yeah. It's so awesome. I love that. Thank you all for sharing that. But, you know, you've had all these, you kind of shared the high points of your story, but I know in talking with you all there, you've been through some really tough times. And I just, you know, like Dave kind of said at the beginning, we were so moved by your story of dealing with fertility issues and walking that road. And so I'd love to hear, you know, more about that, if you guys don't mind sharing.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, you say we've been through a lot. I think everybody has in their own way. And what I love is, you know, our story is our story. And so it may not be a copy paste, but maybe it is a little bit of inspiration, hope, faith builder for some people going through a similar journey. Yeah. So, yeah. So like I said a second ago, we got married September 1st, 2001. So we were 9/11, 10 days before 9/11. Wow. We got married.
We made it home safely. So we didn't get stuck anywhere.
From our honeymoon, yes. We made it home safely.
That's a good time. Yeah.
So, you know, like a lot of people who kind of have a tribe, like a lot of us kind of got married at the same time. Like a lot of our friends were getting married at the same time. And so we're kind of on that same journey. And we had both come from a family of three kids. Mm-hmm. And so those were our conversations leading up, you know, right before you get married, you're like, all right, how many kids do you think and all that? And so we're right. Two to three, you know, probably three, but you know, we'll see how it kind of plays out. And probably about a year in, she starts a year into marriage. She's like, all right, you know, baby talk. I'm like, no, you know, so I'm like, I'm about to have to give up my date nights and my, you know, all the loss is what I'm thinking about.
Well, and the financial aspect, too, because,
yeah.
you know,
yeah, it's sure. Oh, money, yeah.
So I was working a geography job at the time. So the money wasn't exactly rolling in. And we were at a big church conference event at the end of 2002. And I felt like it was there, like God kind of spoke to me and said, okay. You know, it spoke to my heart. And so that's when we had the conversation. Okay, let's start trying. So that was at the end of 2002.
End of 2002. But you're leaving out. I mean, every girl, I think it's, well, I won't say every girl, but for me, it was my prayer. It was my hope, my dream. You get married, but then within like a year or two, you have your kids, you start, you know, having your family. And so we had those questions and concerns, and so we had started trying. It wasn't necessarily happening. But all of our friends were getting pregnant, which you're excited for them, right? You don't want to be like negative Nancy. And if you're a Nancy listening to this, it's just the whole like, you don't want to be like, oh, I'm so happy for you. But that's not fair for me. So you're trying to celebrate the joy for them. But at the same time, you're wrestling internally for yourself. And so that's kind of where we found ourselves. And then Johnson was driving home one day and
yeah, I mean, that's a big part of the story is, I would say I was praying at God, not praying to God. And I think maybe a lot of people in that infertility season find themselves kind of in Psalm sort of mode, you know, David's like crying and accusing and, you know, like a God.
Yeah.
And
I think, God, where are you? Like, what's happening?
But what I love it, we have to do that. I think a lot of people feel like that's not faith, so they don't do it. But there's a permission, I think, that the Psalms give us to kind of like pour our emotions out to God. And so I was finding a little bit of respite in that and just like some calm in that. And so I was basically driving home from work just praying at God and like, God, where are you? And why is this taking so long? Like, what's the deal? And I it's clear as day. I mean, this is almost 20 years later. Park the car at home, turned it off, closed the door, took one step, and heard as clear as day, their names will be Jeremiah and Isaac.
Wow.
Their names will be Jeremiah and Isaac. And I remember I literally like froze in my steps, like, what just happened? It was like this inward clarion voice. And so I ran inside, just super excited, told Summer. And I think, you know, underneath the obvious, like, promise from God, the voice of God, was this subtle thing in my heart of like, we aren't forgotten.
Right.
Yeah. And I think it's really easy, you know, in certain seasons of life is, I read the Bible and all that sort of stuff, but I still feel like that applies to everybody except for me. Right. And for us, it was just that gentle, amazing reminder of like, we aren't the remote lost in the couch cushions. You know what I'm saying? You know, like you know, like we have not been forgotten by God. Jesus really did mean it when he said he won't forget us or leave us even to the very end of the age. So that, I think that's something that's huge to our story and needs to be huge to every single person's story is like, no matter what you're going through, literally you are not forgotten. Like God hasn't lost you in the midst of everything.
Right. You know, Johnson gets his word from the Lord. He comes in and tells me, but I know at the same time, this is great. But there's a pressure for me because I'm like, okay, that means life has to be created as we come together, right? Practice, right? but life is formed in this womb. And growing up, I always had an irregular cycle when it came to my menstrual cycle. And so I already knew that in the back of my head. But I look at scripture and I think about how God told Abraham, hey, a year from now, you're going to have a son. Right. He said that to Abraham. He didn't say it to Sarah. But what Abraham went and told Sarah, she laughs. Right. But what does she do? She gives Hagar, right, to Abraham to have a son.
Right.
So I kind of equate a little bit of our story to that, taking matters into my own hands because there was doubt and unbelief of God, are you actually going to do this for us? So I go to the doctor. And as soon as Johnson says it, he says, hey, because of your past cycles, here's what we're going to do. We're going to do a bunch of testing, but I'm going to put you on fertility treatment because I feel like we need to go ahead and do that. Normally, to be honest, that takes a couple years before they'll do that. But he said, I'm going to go ahead and do that for you. So I started getting tested on a monthly basis, getting my fertility treatments. And at the end of 9 months of those treatments, I walked in. My doctor was gone that day. God has a sense of humor. And the doctor that I see that day, because I have to check you monthly, looks at me and says, well, it's been 9 months. You haven't gotten pregnant. You're probably not going to. It's not going to happen. So you might as well go ahead and consider yourself a candidate for in vitro. I'm like wanting to slap him from across the table. Not but no bedside manner.
Yeah.
But I was so angry and I was so hurt because here was this promise that the Lord had given to Johnson. Their names will be Jeremiah and Isaac. And of course, I think when God gives us a promise and when he gives us a word, many times we'll think that's going to happen overnight, that it's going to happen in a short season, but it's in the waiting where he shows up. It's in the, you know, down the road when he shows up. So his promises never fail, but it's, what is he trying to teach us in that season or what can we learn from that? So I go into my car. I'll never forget that moment. And I started having my conversation at God. So I begin to tell God, I'm done. This isn't going to happen. If it's going to happen, imagine this. God, you need to make it happen. So here I am telling God, you've got to make this happen.
It's a good prayer.
It is a good prayer.
That's a good prayer. Yeah.
You know, it's a relinquishing of trying to control what he wants, his promise and him doing it. And so, and standing.
Yeah.
Going back to this place of faith and saying, I just trust, I'm going to choose to trust you, even though I don't understand why it's not happening. And we've done all these things. And it's not that in vitro is a bad thing, man. Anybody who's been on that in vitro, you know, had to go through that. I think that's wonderful. God will give children through in vitro. It's not a bad thing, but I knew what God had promised for us. Right. And so I stopped taking the medication. And 3 months later, we found out we were pregnant with our first child.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah. So it was almost that relinquishing to God in that moment of, and it was that surreal moment too of once it happened, I remember walking in, I had taken a test and I was like, is this, no, is it? No. And then waiting and coming and telling him later, like, here's, you know, I'm pregnant. So,
yeah. And then that whole process, and it's a boy, you know, and so again, God, what he said, their names will be Jeremiah and Isaac. And, Jeremiah's born April 25th, 2005. And so I remember, I mean, I vividly remember, I think probably like a lot of people, where we were when Summer said she was pregnant, all the emotions, all the gratitude, the worship, the prayers, like all of it. So Jeremiah's born, fast forward, whatever time it was.
2 years probably.
And Summer comes to me again and says it again. Hey, I'm pregnant.
I know that you appreciate learning because you're listening to this podcast right now to learn and grow in your marriage, and props to you for that. So I want to give you another opportunity to learn. Our friends at Hillsdale College so believe in equipping our culture with truths related to history, economics, faith, citizenship. They're offering their college level courses, some of their college level courses, completely free. I encourage you to check out, to start with, the course on ancient Christianity, which is going to give you a really solid base in understanding what was happening culturally and historically during the early years of the church. It's really, really powerful, and the teaching is world class. You can find out all about it at hillsdale.edu/naked to enroll. And I'm telling you guys, there's no cost. This is free college level education, and it's going to benefit your life. So it's hillsdale.edu/naked to register. Check them out at hillsdale.edu/naked and start learning today. I'm super excited about some Mother's Day gifts and future birthday gifts that I have coming up. And it's made possible through our friends at Aura, A-U-R-A. An Aura frame is essentially a digital picture frame that you can upload and customize really at any point. You can have your pictures streaming in real time. You can change what pictures it shows. You can make it exactly what you want it to be. It's so customizable. It's so cool. You can even add pictures to a loved one's frame in some other state or other part of the world by uploading a new picture you think they'll love that'll pop up on their frame. And it's a great way to keep families connected. I think this is one of the most thoughtful gifts that you can give. So I want you to go to AuraFrames.com and use the promo code NAKED to get $30 off plus free shipping, which is an amazing deal. That's AuraFrames.com. Use the code NAKED, and I promise you, they're going to love their Aura frame. Wow.
Which is amazing.
I still, even to this day, I think this is probably one of the conversations I'm going to have with God, you know, like we all forecast, you know, out. When she says she's pregnant again, it's totally different than the first time. So when she said, hey, pregnant, and I knew it was Jeremiah, all the emotions, all the worship, all the prayer. Right. When she said it the second time, I think we just sat there and hugged each other. There was something in my heart that was like, something's not okay.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is. I don't know what to do about it. And then you just kind of play that out a little bit longer, however much longer it was. And she has a miscarriage. Mm. And I remember all of that. Like, God, did you tell me so I would pray and I didn't pray enough? Mm-hmm. Like, is this my fault? Mm-hmm. Did I not have enough faith? Did I sin? And then all this stuff of like, God, you said their names will be Jeremiah and Isaac, but we just lost Isaac. Mm-hmm. Like, God, did you lie? Mm-hmm. Like, God, did you do that? And maybe it'll all make sense one day, but do you actually keep your promises? Like, all this stuff is playing out in my mind. And what I start to notice is my heart, like, I don't want to pray the way that I used to, because why do I want to talk to that God?
Yeah.
You know, the God who would make a promise and then my wife has a miscarriage. And, you know, we're both, I don't know, because we're not really talking about it, you know, and I think maybe that may be a common theme where the pain's so deep and you don't really want to bring it up. And so we're not talking about it. And so there's a little bit of this things starting to happen at that time? Because you were struggling in your own way.
Well, and I think, to be honest and truthful, we didn't talk about this till years later. Even when I found out I was pregnant that second time, I felt different inside. It wasn't, I wasn't at peace like I was the first time. But in that moment, I felt like it would be, if I were to share that with him, like, there's just something weird I feel right now in this moment. I don't know what this is. I think personally, had I said that, I wouldn't be walking in faith versus going, hey, I'm sensing something. Are you sensing something? Would you pray for me? Yeah. Like, can we just pray over this child? And so it was probably, I think I was about 10 weeks when I miscarried, and all of the disappointment that comes with that. As he said, you know, you're going, as a woman, I'm going, I'm the one carrying the life. God, have I not taken care of my body well enough? Like, it's the sin. It's the, all of the whispers of shame and just, you haven't done, or you're not capable, all of those different things. Yeah. And I wrestled, because at the same time, we had already, we were young adult pastors at that time, and we had shared at a leadership thing with everybody. And so then the whole process of going, now we got to go back and tell everybody I lost the baby. Mm-hmm. So it's just that heaviness and that weight as a woman for me, you know, it was rough. And none of my friends had a miscarriage.
Wow.
And so here I was, the first one. And I mean, people say well-meaning things. Oh, God.
Christians are the worst. In the midst of loss, and
they don't know what to do,
so we just say really dumb things.
God needed the baby more than you did. What?
The best thing you do is, for all everybody who's watching, just be there for people. Just be there.
Yeah. I'm so
don't
sorry.
Open up your mouth. Right. Just be there and say, "I'm here for you. I love you."
I'm so sorry.
Don't say stupid stuff. God did not need another angel.
Another people say that.
People don't need to become angels when that's not how any of it works. Just love them. Bring them. Bring up some food.
I remember I was at a retreat, and a pastor was praying over me, and she's like, "Well," and I was so full of anger, and she had said, "Well, it's probably not your fault. It's not your fault." And I was like, "You don't know that it's not my fault." I mean, let's just say I was not walking in godly character in that moment, but there was just this anger and hurt inside.
Right. Yeah. Well, it's a raw pain.
Yeah.
To have that kind of loss.
So fast forward, and it was probably 6 or 7 months later at our church. We believe in healing. We believe the word of God is true. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so we believe in physical healing. And one of the things we do every weekend is we pray for healing and people to receive their healing on a Sunday morning. Yes. And so it was January of 2008. And we are in service that morning, and I'll never forget this moment. And try not to cry. But I remember that morning, we're doing prayer for healing and hearing the Lord say, "It's time. It's time." And I look over to Johnson, and he just shook his head like this, because I look at him and he sees me crying, not knowing what I'm, you know, going through, but just as that supportive husband. And so I lift my hands in surrender and just say, "Okay, God, I trust you." And 4 months later, I am pregnant with Isaac.
Wow.
And my due date was 1 year from that Sunday that I lifted my hands for healing.
Wow.
So I was like, okay, God. Okay.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Well, you say you were pregnant with Isaac. So we were 100% convinced it was a girl.
Yes, that's true. We didn't know it was Isaac yet.
100%. I mean, it's the point we're picking out names like Brooke. Was going to be the name. Yeah. Like, we had the name picked out for her. And so, you know, this is taking place in summer. And so, you know, when she comes and says she's pregnant, the joy is still there, but there's still that thing inside my heart of like, but God, you made a promise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Jeremiah. You know, you said their names will be Jeremiah and Isaac, and we have Jeremiah, but we lost Isaac, and now she's pregnant again. I don't know what to do with that. And I'm still wrestling this heart cold. I'm, you know, it's affecting my preaching, and you know, the beautiful thing is when you're the preacher, you can pick what you want to say. So, as one of the pastors, I actually started a series called God on Mute, and the whole idea was like, hey, where's God when life hurts? You know, Andy Stanley has a really great phrase. He says, you know, when God is silent, that doesn't mean he's absent. And so just kind of grabbing a hold of that, like, God, I know you're here, but I don't know where you are. I can't hear you. I can't sense you. I can't feel you. I don't know where, what in the world you're doing in the midst of this thing. And so I preached a whole series, but a sermon on basically like God is speaking more than we're listening. And so we need to create environments to listen. And so when I was done preaching, we had a worship moment and we invited people to come up front and just kind of sit down and talk to God. And so I was the first one. I just went down there, sat down right at the front, right by the stage, and just started duking it out with God. And my conversation is literally this. I'm like, why this? Why that? Why that? Why this? Why this? Why did you? Why did you? Why did you? You know? And when I kind of almost like emptied out my heart, I paused. And I just kind of felt, you know, in hindsight, the kindness of God come upon me. And I said, I just had this, okay, even if I never know why, I'll still love you and I'll still serve you all the days of my life.
Wow.
It's awesome.
And I'm telling you, right behind those words, as clear as I had heard it the first time, God said, he's with me. And his name is Joseph.
Yeah. Wow. Mm. That's,
he's with me and his name is Joseph.
So powerful.
And I like crocodile tears, like that's like the floor is a puddle in front of me because all of it of, I knew it wasn't me. You know how you're almost like, you know, a friend of mine says, hey, the problem is, God, the devil, and myself all use the same voice in my head. And so, you know, I knew it wasn't me because I knew Summer was pregnant with a girl.
That's what we
did. You know? And I knew we had lost Isaac. And I wouldn't have used those words. So, like, literally, God reached down and he spoke, he's with me and his name is Joseph. And so all the, we're not forgotten.
Mm-hmm.
God's been here the whole time. All the, like, lots of times, you know, what I love, I asked for why, but God didn't tell me why. He told me who, and he told me where.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
And, because I think lots of times the why isn't going to help. If we're really honest, the why doesn't help. What we need to know is we're not forgotten. We're not forsaken. God's right there and his promises are still true. And that's what rang out, that if that was Joseph who passed away in the miscarriage, that means Isaac's still out there.
Right.
Which means maybe, God, your promises are still true, which, wait a second, you're pregnant right now.
Right. So we go in and we go to have the ultrasound done. And again, God has told Johnson, his name is Joseph, and he's here with me. So I'm going to choose to trust on that word, but there's still the inside of me of like, but is it? But is Isaac still out there? Of course, loving the child that's, you know, just excited to be pregnant and that another child was coming. And we go have the ultrasound done. I remember our parents are both in the room. Jeremiah's in the room. And the ultrasound technician, you know, she's doing the ultrasound and she says, congratulations, Mr. and Mrs. Bowie. It's another boy. And I'm bawling and I'm weeping because right behind that, I heard the Lord say, and it's still, I told him a while ago, I was like, this still gets me emotional. Just like my promise was fulfilled to Abraham and Sarah with their son, Isaac. Mm-hmm. So is my promise being fulfilled.
To wow. Them. I mean, that's so powerful.
It is so powerful.
And so Isaac was born January 15th, 2009.
Yeah. So, you know, just anybody who's going out there with the infertility journey, God's promises are, you know, yes and amen. And while our journey might look different, we just want to just share hope and just faith for those for just to walk that out with the Lord. You're not, as Johnson said, you're not forgotten. He's there. And we know our journey looks different, but just some people, it might be fertility treatment or it might be in vitro, or maybe it's just time. It, you know, it's, God is not a respecter of person, so it doesn't mean what he did for us, he doesn't want to do for other people. Maybe it's adoption, mm-hmm. but just encourage people in their journey of fertility and just having children.
Yeah, and you know, their names will be Jeremiah and Isaac. So it's Jeremiah, Israel, Bui. So Jeremiah is the weeping prophet. Israel is Prince of God. Mm-hmm. And like God knew what he was doing. So Jeremiah is super sensitive. He's super empathetic. Mm-hmm. He cried a lot when he was a kid.
Yeah.
but there's so much favor, stinking favor on this kid's life. And Isaac, Andrew, Bui. So Isaac is he who laughs, and Andrew is manly and courageous. And so this kid is stinking hilarious. He is like legitimately hilarious and super athletic, karate swimming kid, you know? So God knew what he was doing when he made the promises. Yeah. So
He always knows what he's doing.
Yeah, I love it. It's such a beautiful story, isn't it, sweetie?
It is. It's just beautiful. I've heard it. This is the second time I'm hearing it, and I'm hearing things that it's just so deeply encouraging to be reminded of God's faithfulness and to see it. Like, you know, you look at those boys and it's tangible evidence of God's promise, of his faithfulness. And I think we all have that kind of evidence in our life. It looks differently, and maybe yours is a completely different scenario, but God has been faithful and acted on our behalf in supernatural ways. And just being reminded of his goodness is so, so good. And before we close out, though, I want to tell our listeners, like, listen, guys, if you're anywhere near the Atlanta area, go check out one of the campuses of Victory Church. It is one of the most life-giving, Christ-focused places that you could go. And just expect God to show up in supernatural ways. Because, I mean, God is doing something so unique.
Yes,
definitely. At this church, and Summer and Johnson are the real deal, and your leadership is great. I love your heart for bringing cultures together. I love the heart of your church looks like the kingdom of God, like every tribe, tongue, and nation. You guys are doing it and living it, and I just so believe in what you're doing, and so I want to point people to it. But before we close, Summer, would you just say a prayer for those couples listening, and in particular those women who are listening, who are dealing with infertility and maybe dealing with miscarriages, and they're feeling pain and shame, and they're feeling confusion, and they're wrestling in their faith, and they're feeling those things that you felt, and they haven't had their breakthrough yet. They haven't had that miracle yet, in whatever form God's going to bring that miracle. And would you just pray a prayer of blessing over them? And for you listening out there, just receive this prayer, you know, and let this be a moment for you, you know, like Johnson's moment of tears down at the front of the altar where he had that moment with God. Let this be a moment where you give it to the Lord and believe that he's going to come through, because he always does.
Amen.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Father, I thank you so much for every woman who's listening right now, who's engaging, who's just heard our testimony. And Lord, while this is our testimony, you have a testimony for each and every woman who's listening on this podcast. God, I thank you that you would meet them where they are in this moment. You see every tear that's been shed, Lord, every heartache that they've been through. And here's what I know is that you are a faithful God. You're a faithful God. And even when we can't see you, you are there with us. Your word tells us that you are El Roi, you are the God who sees. So Lord, in this moment, would you just bring peace and comfort to these women who felt like maybe they haven't been seen? That Lord, where they felt forgotten, that Lord, you would just show them, even now, Lord, those who are listening, who are hearing, if they're driving, flash a moment, Lord, where you've been with them, where they have felt forsaken, but where you were there. Lord, right now, I just bless each of these women who are listening. Father, we just speak life over their womb, that their wounds would be open to receive, Lord, and that we just speak healing over their body. We thank you for your word that is true, that by your stripes we are healed. So, Lord, any word, any negative, any curse that's been spoken over their life or over their body, we call it null and void in the name of Jesus. And we speak life and provision over their womb, that, Lord, they will carry children to a full 9 month, like through a full 9 months, Lord, with healthy children delivered. God, I thank you for the testimony that's going to come from this, that Lord, even now in this moment, faith is being restored for those who felt forgotten, that Lord, any guilt or shame that has been lie that's been spoken over them. We call that null and void in the name of Jesus. And God, I thank you for just supernatural faith that's being released in this moment. Lord, where there's been heartache right now, we just release the spirit of joy over them. And I thank you for they're going to be testimonies, Lord. A year from now, after people listen to this podcast, Lord, of the great healing that you did, you're not a respecter of distance. So even now, Lord, we speak your word and we tell it to go out in the name of Jesus. And we just declare healing over their life physically, mentally, spiritually, and emotionally. But God, I thank you. You are a God who restores. So even now you are restoring, Lord, the heart. You're restoring the womb. Lord, if it's adoption, if it's in vitro, whatever that looks like, Father, that you would make it plain and clear for every woman listening. And Lord, if there's been any division amongst couples, Lord, any heartache from the loss of a miscarriage, Lord, that there would be a moment where they can come together, they can mourn. Lord, your word says that you mourn with those who mourn, but Lord, in that they would mourn together but receive the peace and healing that comes from you. So right now, I just bless these women. I speak love over them, Father, that you would fill them with love to overflowing. I thank you for your presence, the presence of God that goes with us, and that you are with them now. You are for them. And we speak life over them, hope over them, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. What a powerful prayer.
It's so powerful. Thank you so much for sharing that and doing that.
Yeah. And thank you both for being here. And before we sign off, I want to, you know, give you a chance to have the final word.
Yeah.
Tell people where they can find you or tell them anything you want them to know.
In these, anything I want
anything
you to know.
The
floor is your number is. No.
Yeah. Yes, please. I receive it. Yes. I will tithe. I will double tithe on that.
Yeah, seriously.
No, like you alluded to a second ago, so we're Victory Church here in Atlanta. So we have four locations around Atlanta. VictoryATL.com is our kind of our calling card, the one-stop shop, VictoryATL.com. But like you said, I mean, when we first came to Victory in 98, the thing that grabbed us was multicultural. And so the founding pastors, Pastor Dennis and Colleen, they started it here in Atlanta in a historically divided city. They wanted to plant a multicultural church. And so we walked into a room where with a Jamaican worship pastor at that time and the percussionist from Santana, you know, on the bongos.
Nice.
And yeah, and just watching what God's done over the years. So now we have 142 nations inside the church. And so we get a chance to taste Revelation 7 every single time that we're together, every tribe and tongue and nation. And so it's beautiful. I love it. I wouldn't give it up for the world. God's done such amazing things in my life and our life that to teach us that we're so much better together than we are separate. Yeah. And so we get to show the world, John 17, you know, that we can be one as Jesus and the Father are one.
Yes.
So that's what I love. And so, you know, I mean, if you're in Atlanta or if you're anywhere, we're actually just about to start house churches this next year. And so there's a whole lot of things that we're doing all around the world, as well as in Atlanta. So we'd love it if you didn't have a home church. Check out Victory ATL. That's
great.
Us.
Yeah. And
I love it.
I wholeheartedly just endorse and celebrate and cheer on what you guys are doing. And so, guys, connect with this church.
Check them out.
Connect with this church. You'll be better for it. Your faith will grow. You will be encouraged. You will be blessed. And guys, we just pray blessings for you, for your family, for your ministry.
Thank you.
So thankful God allowed our paths to intersect. And we look forward to reconnecting, hopefully again, very soon. So
for sure.
Thank you guys again.
All right. Thank you guys.